All right, I tell you what, I hope you listen to the words of the Christmas music and understand the gospel is just woven through it all over. And we appreciate the folks that have done some specials for us and still got a couple of weeks of it to go. And we appreciate all the hard work, appreciate the cantata the other night. The choir did a great job on it, and we praise the Lord for it. Somebody said, didn't you have it a little bit early? Well, we did, but one of the reasons so many folks are leaving, we had to get it before they left, and they did a good job, and we appreciate it. I want you to go to Book of Luke. We're in the Christmas theme pretty much. I want you to go to chapter 2, chapter 2 of the Book of Luke. I'm on. Go to a familiar portion tonight, and I'm going to kind of take a spiritual viewpoint of it, make some applications from it. And I'll put the title on it for the tape room, Don't Lose Christ in Christmas. And, of course, we've for many years seen the folks that wanted to take him out, take his name out, put Xmas instead of Christ, and that sort of thing. But in Luke chapter 2, we have a story. Not much was told of the Lord Jesus after his birth, but we do have this incident when he was 12 years old in the temple, and his family left him and forgot him. How many of you ever forgot a kid on the pew when you got home and had to come back after him? Anybody? I see several hands, and some of you didn't want to admit it. Let me get a little worse. How many of you ever left your husband at church? Or your wife? Well, that made for a good Christmas spirit, didn't it? But with all joking aside, we've all done something like that. And of all things, you have Mary and Joseph leaving Jesus behind, so to speak. We would say sort of at church. A lot of mistakes made around Christmas, a lot of misinformation, a lot of stuff that's not quite accurate. I think about the little girl on Christmas morning. Came skipping down the stairs, and she was singing, "Happy birthday, happy birthday." And mom rushed, and others rushed. Oh, she's mixed up. She thinks it's a birthday. No, she was right. It is a birthday that we celebrate, amen. And sometimes we forget the real, the real meaning. We don't do that. Luke chapter 2, I want to pick it up in verse 40. Says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Of course, this was a religious thing with the Jews, and rightfully so. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee, sorrowing." I'm going to keep clearing his throat till I either do something. I don't know. You can pray for me under your breath if you can still pay attention. Amen. I have a mint in my pocket, and I thought I'd take it, but all of you'd want one if I did. And I don't have but one. No, maybe it'll pass in a minute. "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." I said this morning in the message, Mary knew a lot more than a lot of folks think she did. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Now we got the setting. It's the Passover time. The family, it was a custom. They were supposed to go. They did. It was a big time. It was a somewhat of a celebration time. It was a time when acquaintances got back together. A whole lot like Christmas time, maybe today. I say it over and over. The best thing about Christmas is family coming, of course. I mean, far as that's the attraction to us. But of course, as believers, we want to always have Christ front and center, and we want to tell our loved ones what it's all about. The world celebrates Christmas, but the world don't know Christ in the right and proper way. We understand that. And so they're traveling on here without him. All I'm going to do tonight, and just stay with me a little bit, we're going to ask some questions, make some applications from the story. And it's okay to do that spiritually. Every verse in the Bible has a spiritual application. And while the story happened as a fact at a certain time, on a certain date, here at Passover, it did happen, but the Lord also can teach us some truths spiritually from the story. Let's ask some questions to begin with. Let's ask, who lost him? Who lost him? Look at it in verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew it not. Now today they'd be arrested for child abuse, wouldn't they? I mean, we're going crazy today over a bunch of stuff. But the truth is, they were a little bit careless here. These are the very ones you'd say should have missed him first. You think about that. They made an assumption he was with them. You know, you get in trouble making assumptions. Some of the worst mistakes I've ever made was when I assumed somebody really loved the Lord and they didn't. I assumed they would act this way, but they didn't. In the election, we assumed if we elected a president that would keep his promises, that America would let him do it. But the Congress won't do that, will they? Heard on our radio a while ago coming back to church, where they were telling him the twin duo of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Charles Sumner, they said, we are not going to give you the wall, and the Democrats are not going to give you the wall, and the Republicans don't want you to have the wall. Now, that's amazing to me. I will agree, the liberal Democrats and the Rhino Judas Republicans have caused a lot of trouble, but we voted for a wall, didn't we? I wanted him to have a wall. I wanted to save America. I mean, as I look at the crowd coming, I feel sorry for the condition they're in, but America can't drop its borders and let the whole world come in and pay the bills. We can't do that and still be a nation. But we made an assumption, but we are seeing that it's not panning out that way. They made an assumption he was in the crowd, but he wasn't. And they made a mistake on that. It's easy sometimes to assume and be wrong. Now, Joseph here was not his real father. He's called as his father and mother. Now, we understand the virgin birth. We're not bringing that into question whatsoever. And the King James Bible keeps it very distinct and very, very clear. And so, who lost him? Yes, his father and mother. That's true. We would say that. But we look around today and we see some folks that have lost Jesus we would not have expected them to. We're in the South. We're in the Bible Belt. And yet we're not the Bible Belt we used to be. And you make an assumption Jesus is in some things today, but he's not. Not anymore. He might have used to been, but not anymore. He's slipped. We've dropped our guard. We've lost him. Today in public prayer, there commission meetings and political meetings, they're telling preachers, don't pray in the name of Jesus. See, they've lost him. They've left him behind, that sort of thing. Today you have preachers for political reasons and prestige and social status going and actually dedicating breweries, right? And asking blessings on things that are pure old sin that should not be. Trying to bring Jesus into a place he would not want to be. And we're seeing that over and over, seeing too much of that, no doubt about it. You see the gay movement bragging about having preachers in the pulpit and all that business. No, they're not. Perversion has taken over and left Jesus out, and yet trying to pretend he's there. He's not there. He's not there. He's not going to be there. He never was there. But anyway, I look and see who lost him. It was his parents here. But where did they lose him? This is an amazing thing. They lost him in the religious ceremony, in the Passover, in the religious crowd that lost him. Now, today, the Bible warns us about when they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Form of godliness, learn how to do the social thing, learn how to have the right program at church, and yet for the reality of Jesus, he's missing. He's missing. Too bad. Just religious. Just because something's religious don't mean that the Lord Jesus is there. You know, it's easy to fake it. I've talked to some folks that had a great Christmas program. I mean, they had the drama, they had the music, they had everybody dressed right, they did a program, a scene from the Bible, and yet they didn't know Jesus personally at all. That's why when we have the cantata, we give an invitation. And by the way, we got one saved the other night at the cantata. Isn't that wonderful? The truth of the matter is, we don't want to get so religious that Jesus can't get in. I believe with all my heart that he went to the common man. He was honest and plain. You didn't have to know where he stood or what he stood for. And I believe it ought to still be that way today. If we're going to have him in our midst, we're going to have to honor him in the right way. I see here where they lost him. They lost him in a religious ceremony. I'll tell you what, at the judgment seat, there's a lot of folks going to try to get in, as it were, because they were religious. You know, everybody is religious in a sense. There's some folks watch the soap operas religiously, right? I mean, as the stomach turns and all the rest of those crazy things. the truth is that people do things religiously, but just doing it religiously don't mean Jesus is there. Preacher friend of mine said he was on an airplane years ago, and he was joking about this, I'm sure. He said the airplane got to wobbling in the air and things, and people were kind of hollering and getting scared. And somebody said, "Why don't you do something religious?" He jumped up and started taking an offering. Now, I think he was joking about that. But just doing something religious don't make Jesus in it. Amen? He's missing sometime, and folks don't know he's missing. That's what the scripture's talking about, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And just because it's religious don't always make it right. But then I look at another question here. Why did they lose him? Why they lost him? I look in verse 44. They were in the company with others. And I make this application. They were walking with their peers, with their friends, with their families, with their acquaintances. And I want to say to you, that's one of the easiest places to leave Jesus out. Young people, you better hear me. You're going to have the peer pressure, but it shouldn't be that you would side with your peers instead of with Jesus. If you've gotten ashamed to have him at the party you go into, you don't need to be there. If your friend, a good friend, don't like Jesus, you ought to find you another friend. I mean, the whole thing is we see so much compromise today. You see kids grow up in church. They get taught right. They believe right. They learn to quote the verses. They learn to sing the songs. And then they get to be teenagers, and they get with their peers. And you would think they'd never been to Sunday school. I mean, all of a sudden, the peers are greater in their estimation than Jesus is. And those very peers need somebody to be a testimony to them to make a difference. I think about the story I read, a true story. It happened years ago, back when churches preached against worldly things that they don't preach against anymore, like going to the dances and things like that and the movies. Help yourself. I'm still old-fashioned. But churches used to preach against that stuff. And this Christian girl, church member, went to a dance. And she and a young man were out on the floor dancing with the rest of them. And all of a sudden, it come to her. And she asked him, said, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Well, no." And he stopped. He said, "No, are you?" She said, well, yes. He said, well, what are you doing here? Don't kid yourself. The lost world knows. They know where you ought to be there or not. They know where you ought to talk that way or not. They know if you ought to be doing what you're doing. And the truth is, they know. They know. And you'd be surprised sometimes how many eyes are on you to see if you're going to stay true to your God or if you're going to compromise with their sin. You know, they lost him here. They lost him in the crowd. They were walking with their peers. They had their attention on the family and on the acquaintances. And they were in the holiday crowd. And the holiday crowd here at Christmas time with our kin and our friends and all of that is so good. But please don't lose Christ in your Christmas celebrations. Folks still ought to know where you stand. If you're at the Christmas party and the alcohol's being passed, they ought to know you're not going to have any part of that. You ought to take a stand. If the wrong things are going on, you ought to take a stand. And if you have to, you ought to leave and let everybody know why you left. I mean, listen, you can do more harm when you cheapen down the Lord and what he stands for by making your friends happy with you. No, the truth is they condemn you for being a compromiser. Don't lose him in the crowd. Don't lose him in the Christmas holidays. It's so easy to just do that. I've even seen some own church members through the years at different times. I've seen some of them go all year long, faithful to the house of God, faithful serving God, and then the family came, and then the crowd came, then the holidays came, and the next thing you know, they're participating there. They've blown their testimony many times in front of the very family that they ought to have been speaking up for the Lord Jesus. Oh, I understand. I understand the pressure. But to take a stand for the Lord may not be popular, but I'll tell you what, it'll make you outstanding in this world today. A sheriff in Tennessee got elected here. It's been several years back. But I read about it. Now, you wouldn't have read about it had he just went along with the crowd. But the sheriff got elected, and at the big party they were throwing, and they'd done that for other sheriffs. They'd done that for other elected officials. And they were throwing a big party with him, and the booze was on the table, and the sheriff walked in and picked the bottles up, took them to the sink, broke them, and threw the bottles in the garbage can. He got in the newspapers for that. You know why? He was a Christian, and he was really one. He was genuine. Yeah, that put some attention on him. Bless God, he let them know where he stood. He wasn't compromising with it. He's a businessman. I could call his name. Some of you'd know him. Several years ago, began to climb up in his business in this area here, and he was saved. He'd been saved a good while, was serving the Lord. And finally, he made it to where he was the boss. And he told me, he said, pray about it. Said, we're fixing to have a Christmas party. And he said, you know what goes on at the Christmas party? He said, I'm going to change it this year. Said, I don't know whether I'll survive or not. He done what the sheriff did. He got rid of the booze. And he did win. And he found there was more people out there appreciated what he did than was mad at him for it. And I thank God for a testimony like that. I'm saying to you, don't lose Christ in the festival part of it. Don't lose him in the Christmas celebration. Listen, he's what it's all about. And he's the one we ought to promote and we ought to put the spotlight on and let folks know we're as true on Christmas as we are in the rest of the days. I ask another question. How'd they find Jesus again? Now, some of you are not going to like this, but see it in verse 45? It's right here. And when they found him not, they turned back again. I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody in Radio Land or even here in the building that needs to turn back again. Where'd you leave him? Where'd you lose him? Where'd you compromise? Where did you dip your colors? Say, well, how am I going to do it? You go back to him. He don't come to you. He's right where you left him. Amen? I think about the man and woman driving down the road in the car, and she was sitting over against the door. You know the story. And she spoke up and said, you know, when we first got married, said, we used to sit together on the steering wheel. He said, yep. Then he said, who moved? Ladies, who moved? I ask you, where is Jesus? Who moved? Are you as close to him as you used to be? Is he where you left him? If he is, you got to go back to him. He's not coming to you. He's not going to follow you into the sinful party. He's not going to go with you in where you place you're denying him. He's right where you left him. This family turned back. And we got to turn back when we realize we're drifted away. They, not him, they should have missed him here. And they should have turned back. And they did. And they did. You know, if you think Jesus is going to follow you into some garbage pit, he's not. Into some sin hole, he's not. No, no, no. He is the pure, sinless Son of God. He's given you a book that tells you what's right. He's given you the Holy Spirit to convince you inside what's right. And when you willfully do wrong, he's got a right to stay behind and let you fall in the pit and get into trouble that you're going to get in when you leave him behind. And you will. And you will. You know, I ask you a question. Have you gotten cold enough that you don't even miss Jesus when he's not around? I don't know about you, but I believe, and I have a time or two been sick where I had to miss church, but I want to tell you something, I miss it. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to be with that that's important to him. His house, is attending his house is important to him. Serving is important to him. And I want to be close to him. He's the one saved my soul from hell. I don't only owe him, I love him because of it. And when you love somebody, you love to be close to them, right? And they found him again when they turned back. And if you're missing him, I'll tell you where he's at. He's where you left him. He's where you left him, right where you left him. And they found him again. Look at verse 46. Now, making a spiritual application on the story. And it came to pass that after 3 days, now they'd been traveling a day. That means they had to travel a day back. Right? And then they had 2 more days, so the crowd was big, and probably the one place they were not expecting him was right where he was. And maybe the place they should have expected him to be, and that was in the temple. Did you ever read, I won't turn to it, but did you ever read Malachi, where when he comes back, he's coming in the temple? He's got a job to do in the temple, right? Yes, I'm talking to you about not at the rapture, but at the second coming, at the end of the trib. He's coming back into the temple. He's got a job there. And the truth of the matter is that he's coming back at the beginning of the third day. Now, I'm just making an application here. You remember the 7,000-year theory that all the old-time prophets and preachers held on to in the early church age? Of 1,000 years, this is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. You remember the story, how that's represented by days in the scripture. For instance, after 2 days, you find Jesus, the early part, John chapter 2, you find him at the marriage in Cana, right? After 2 days. What's going to happen at the end of 2,000 years of church age? There's going to be a marriage. Right, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Planning on being there. Amen? Going to be a great time. After 2 days. Then the third day starts. And that's when they found Jesus. That's when he's revealed. When he starts his kingdom age. His millennial reign on earth. See, the Bible always fits together in types and pictures. It never denies itself. It always fits together. And here, after 3 days, they find him. That's when he's going to show up. 3 days. The third day type here. And the marriage type in John chapter 2. They found him in the temple. That pictures what you read in Malachi chapter 2 and 3. He's going to appear suddenly. Now, they've been traveling without him. And I want to say to you, you can be saved or lost. You can travel a ways without Jesus. But sooner or later, you're going to miss him. Sooner or later, when old death knocks on your door, when the old heart pump quits, when you face God, you better make sure you got Jesus in the company. You've been traveling without him. I'll tell you what, it won't get better without him. It'll get worse. And you know, the truth is, the time to get close to Jesus is now. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate on it. Don't hope for a better time. He may be closer to you tonight than he's ever been. And if you walk out without him, you're putting him back little father, and the chance of you being saved after you've heard gets less and less and less as your heart gets cold. Old preachers used to say something like this: the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that hardeneth his neck, stiffeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. It's talking about when you say no, it gets a little easier to say no to him next time. A little easier next time. And you harden yourself to the place you may never say yes to him. I say to you, don't lose him here at Christmas time. He's closer now. I think about the guy that was, and I wouldn't be doing this for sure, but he was mountain climbing. I never could figure why somebody wanted to do that. I've seen pictures of it, hanging onto a rope, that sort of thing. Fellows had to hang on the ropes when they were built, putting the roofing on the hotel. I went up there when they first got started, and they had one rope with a harness. It was not college students. We're going to make college students do it the next time. They had a harness, and they had one rope tied. I went up there, and I said, I want two ropes. And I wouldn't let them work till they got two ropes on. I figured two chances is better than one, don't you? But I read this story about this guy that was mountain climbing with a rope. And he'd gotten up on a ledge, and somehow by accident, he let his rope go. And his rope swung out over nothing. And he said, I realized instantly when that rope swings back, it'll be closer to me then than it will ever be again. If I let it swing twice, it'll be further from me. If I let it swing three times, it'll be yet further. I've got to get it. I've got to jump and grab it the first time that it swings back. And obviously, he caught it because he wouldn't have been telling the story otherwise. Amen. But he was smart enough to know I can't let it get any further away. And I want to say to you tonight, I don't know how far you are from Jesus. But now, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. He'll never be closer to you than when you hear the gospel preached and you're invited to come and receive him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight, he's swinging close to you. Christmas time. All the singing's about him. All the talk's about him. All the preaching's about him. He's close. He's close. He may not ever be this close again. You better receive him. Take hold of him while you can. I pray if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, you'll come. I pray out in the radio land that you'll park the car or whatever you need to do and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I do believe on you. And I ask you to save me. That can happen in this building, and it can happen wherever you're at right now. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we know there's a lot of talk about Jesus this time of year. Too much of it is only about him being in the manger. Not enough of it is about the fact he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. I pray you'd help us, Father, to tell others the real reason for the season, that we'd not lose Christ in Christmas, that we'd recognize it's a time of year when he's swinging close, coming close. And Father, I pray some folks would not let the festivities of the crowd separate them from the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd bless here in our midst tonight in this room. If there's one here unsaved, we pray for them right now that they would be saved. We pray you'd speak to our hearts as your people, to be a testimony for you when the world is compromising in every way, that we'd stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing tonight.
All to Jesus.